Ann and Angie had an anniversary, and of course they're on vacation. And me and Mary Lynn had an anniversary, and she's left me again. Anyway, smart woman. Anyway, we'll catch that when the choir comes up. I'll let Donna sing happy anniversary to us. Is that okay, Donna? Okay, don't let me forget next week, get Dan and Angie when they get back from vacation. So right now, let's all stand and turn to page 692. When we all get to heaven, it'll be even better than vacation.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be.
Got just a couple of announcements this morning. Everybody, remember Brother David Reese, he's going to bring us a message here in a little while. He'll also be back with us tonight for this evening service, and we'll be having communion and foot washing. So everyone try to come back and be here for that. Then Monday evening, at 6 p.m., the association will be a meeting over milk in Free Will Baptist Church Monday night, 6 p.m. It's a meal. Service begins at 7. So everyone that wants to go to this, it's just right over on Milken Highway. So everyone can go, try to go and support the church. Then Tuesday night will be the men meeting for prayer here at the church at 6 o'clock. And also the ladies are going to meet here, and they're going to go to over to Sister Jean Austin's house for a cottage prayer meet. You can see Penny and talk to Sister Penny if you need some more details on that. And then we'll be having a regular Wednesday night service. So, has anybody else got any announcements? Okay. If not, I'll take a prayer request at this time. Does anyone have a prayer request? Anyone else have spoken? Let's have a spoken request this morning. Let's do remember Tim and Ron as they'll be traveling back. They'll have a safe trip. All those that's on vacation, let's remember them. No one else has one. We'll come together on the altar and have an altar of prayer this morning. ask the ushers to come and we'll receive our morning tithes and offerings. Brother Nathan, you want to make a word for offering?
Thank you.
thinking about that song. Ain't you glad he touched you? Whenever it was, ain't you glad? Wonderful Savior. This time I'm going to ask Brother David to come on and you just preach or sing or whatever, Brother, Lord's put on your heart.
Good morning. Some of you are already asleep. That ain't fair. That's just not fair, you know. We're going to sing one to you. Anybody in here know J.D. Mitchell? It's a shame, isn't it? I'm not going to claim him. I'm going to tell him tonight. You know that rascal will be here tonight. He kept telling me this past week, he said, now they're expecting you to sing when you go there. Tim has told them that you're going to sing, and I come ready to sing, and he's not here. I'm going to get on his case big time. We're going to sing. This is an old song. We're a couple of old people by now in our life, and so that's about all we know is old songs. So y'all just have to get used to that, I guess. House of Gold, if you know it, you can sing with us. We wouldn't mind that at all. We'll swap sides then. That's too low. That's where it is now. Some people cheat. They steal a lie for this world's wealth and what it can buy. But don't they of gold and deny my God and do my soul? What good is gold and silver too if your heart is not good and pure? Oh, sinner, dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold and deny my God and doom my soul. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here with you today, and I'm very, very glad that Brother Tim invited me to come over and be in this service. I wanted to be here. When he asked me a good while back, he said, are you free? And I said, well, I'd be glad to come if you need me. And so I love Tim. He's just my boy. That's about all I know to tell you. He's my boy, and I love him with all my heart. He's quite a preacher, by the way. He's quite a preacher. And he loves the Lord Jesus. I was talking to one of the brethren out in the foyer earlier about the time that Tim fell under the conviction of God about being a preacher. And you'd have thought he was an altar boy. I could have preached on anything, and he'd have come to the altar to repent because God had just struck his heart with the idea that he needed to be doing something for the Lord, and he couldn't just wrestle that out until one day he sat down in my office and he just let out this big sigh. Air went out of him, and he just shook his head. You know how he does. He sits down and shakes his head. He shook his head, and he looked up at me, and I said, well, Brother Tim, I said, what's the matter? What is this that you're supposed to be doing that you're not doing? And that just kind of broke the dam right there. And he said, I guess God's called me to preach. I said, well, how about that? You know, you couldn't guess that awful easy because you'd get up and teach and preach. So he was doing a good job. So I thank the Lord for him. I thank you for being his church and for electing him here as a pastor. He and Miss Rhonda make a wonderful couple, pastor and wife for a church. And y'all are blessed to have them. You're blessed to have them. I left Fredericksburg, Virginia in 2004 to retire. I retired up there after many, many years in the ministry. And came home to East Tennessee, and I had begun a ministry called Denium Ministries, my wife and I, a year before. And we would go and help missionaries that were building Free Will Baptist churches, take our motorhome and drive there, and we would spend some time with them. And I would relieve the preacher, as my job was to go in and kind of help if he had to clean the building. Most mission churches do have, pastors have to do everything. They lead the singing, they teach the Sunday school class, they clean the building, they mow the grass, they do all of that. And most of the time they can't leave. They don't have anybody to fill in for them if they have to go home for something. They just have to shut church down. When you shut a church down, you lose. Every time you do, you lose. And so I felt the need of that, having built already two mission churches and pastored three. I knew what missionaries went through, and so I would go there and kind of free them up and let them go home. And I remember quite well going into this church and doing that for a pastor, and he had never been home to let his wife even go home to see her mother. And so I did that. But I left a mission church that I had started in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And they elected a pastor to come in after them. And in coming in after them, the man they elected, his wife wasn't committed like she should have been. So they spent the next 10 years without a pastor's wife. Y'all have a pastor's wife. That's a wonderful deal. That's a wonderful deal. And God bless you for having that. And I would ask you to pray for that church I started and spent 24 years in. Because you're much bigger than they are now. When I left them, they had a house full of people, buildings paid for, and they are now, that pastor led them back into debt and abandoned them, basically. After they got down where they couldn't pay his salary, he just abandoned them. And so you pray for them. I was there this past week for a funeral. So pray that God will bless them. Send a man who's got a heart for the work of God and a wife who'll work with her husband. Okay, you got a great pastor. You better love him. Turn to Acts chapter 9 and 10. I'm not going to read Acts. And Acts is the history book of the Bible, of the New Testament church. And in reading through this, y'all know the stories that are found in Acts 8, 9, and 10. Saul is breathing out threatenings toward the church. He has the power of insurrection. He can go out and capture them and put them in chains and haul them back to Jerusalem, have them killed for a false religion. And so he's chasing the church all over the world, and they're running all over the world. And you get into chapter 9, and you find out that God chases Saul, the apostle, down on the Damascus Road, and life changes. Life drastically changes. As a matter of fact, Paul, who became Paul after the blindness was removed from his eyes, was found among the disciples in Damascus. And then later he was brought to Jerusalem, found among the disciples of Jesus in Jerusalem. And then they whisked him off to Tarshish because the Jews wanted to kill him. They found out he'd turned traitor, you know. He'd become a traitor to the religion they thought was the only religion, and had claimed Jesus Christ as his Lord, and so they wanted to kill him. And so they whisk him off in the dark to Tarshish, where he's really from. Saul was Saul of Tarshish, and the Apostle Paul, that's who he is. We know him as the Apostle Paul, the Greek name for his name. But anyways, they got him out of the way, and when they sent him off to Tarshish, he had been the virtual sword of Islam or of Jewish religion against the church. And so when he went off to Tarshish and was no longer chasing Christians, they had a lull of quiet. Had a lull of quiet. Go to verse 30 of chapter 9, and I'll read it to you if I can see it here. I have cataracts on both eyes, so if I look like I'm trying to do this, it's because I can't really see very well at this moment. But I'll clear right up as soon as I start preaching. Verse 30 of chapter 9, or 31, right, says, "Then had the churches rest, because there's no persecution. Rest throughout all of Judah and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord." Now, that would be a great time, wouldn't it? "Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied." Sounds good, doesn't it? So Peter decides to take a vacation. Any of you folks ever take a vacation? Hold your hand up. Just might as well admit it. You're going to go one of these days, sooner or later. Vacation. Well, he decided to take a vacation. Now, let's see if your vacation reads like this. "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda." Y'all go to church and you go on vacation, don't raise your hand. I don't want to commit you. "Oh, I'm glad I got one up here." All right, yeah, he went down to Lydda. "There he found a certain man named Annas, which had kept his bed for 8 years, was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately." My goodness, a miracle on vacation. "And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, the disciples had heard that Peter was there. They sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay, but come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put them all out." Why in the world did he do that? Oh, I'll tell you in a minute. "Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon the tanner. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, that an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid, and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial. That means that God has remembered them before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel spake unto Cornelius, the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa." There's much more to the story. I don't need to read it to you. You know it, don't you? Well, let's bow our heads for prayer. And then I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about being led or used by the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I love you today. Glad to be saved by the grace of God. And I appreciate you saving boys. I was just a boy when you saved me. And I'm thankful that you move on the hearts of teenagers, Lord, and save them as you did Dee. And I thank you, Lord, that you win men that are in their 20s and 30s to the Lord, as you have many that, Lord, I've seen kneel before you. God, I'm thankful you save us older guys, Heavenly Father, who up in years find the grace of God such an irresistible thing in our hearts that we must have Jesus as our Lord. God, I love you so. I'm thankful for this church, its pastor, his wife, and family. And I pray that God should bless his work here and give them many souls for their labor. May the light of this place never flicker, or the heart of this church, Lord, never wane. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus be heard from this pulpit forever. Have your way in our hearts today. Find the one here, Lord, who might need you. Encourage those who have come and reaching for God. And then lift our hearts together as we worship over the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. Anybody in here would like for God to use them? Hold your hand up. Be careful what you ask for. That scared one woman to death. I saw her hand go right back down. Now, how many of you would really like for the Lord to use you? Hold your hand up. Don't be brave about this, you know. I see a couple out there, but that's okay. You're probably that cautious soul and should be when preachers like me stand up. But nevertheless, being used of God to do different things and sometimes strange things is probably a hard task. I'll give you an illustration. Do you suppose that in the days of Noah, when there had never been a drop of rain ever fell on the face of the earth, and he lived in an arid and dry location of the country, that there had ever been a ship built anywhere near him? No, absolutely not. And yet God looked at a man who he found, a man that had faith in God among all the people who did not, and he said to him, I want you to do something very strange. I want you to be used of God. I want you to build a vessel that will float in the water because it's going to pour down the rain out of heaven and it's going to need something to float, and I've got to save humanity, for it's come up before me to destroy every single living thing. Now, that's a hard message to hear. One guy, you might look around and say, God, you talking? But nevertheless, you see the point. God asked him to do something. How about that prophet in the Old Testament that God told him very quickly? He said, I want you to go out there and marry a harlot. Now, who would tell a preacher to go marry a harlot? Well, God did. He told him to go marry a harlot, and she was to bear him two sons, and those two sons would bear the names of vengeance of God before the people of Israel. And everywhere they went, there would be that message as they went into the crowd. What's that baby's name? God's wrath is about to pour upon you. That's the name of the child. Well, nevertheless, God did these things, and they were expected to do the unusual. Well, here's another case. I mean, you know the story of Peter. He was hungry, laying out there on the roof. He had laid down in the sun. That's what most people do when they go to the beach. Lay down there in the sun. He was sunning out there on the roof. He went to sleep. And in that vision on the roof, you know, the sheet came down. God's voice came out of heaven. I want you to arise and kill and to eat. I want you to do the unusual. He said, not so, Lord. For I've never eaten that which is unclean and unsavory. And so that happened three times, and then there was a knock at the door, and there's three men at the door, and God said, you've got to go with them. And Peter stood there scratching his head about this little vision he had had and God's voice. And when they came to the door as Gentiles and said, you have been summoned to the house of a Gentile, he understood. He perceived exactly what God was saying. So God was expecting something unusual. Now you raise your hands that you want to be used of God. I was sitting on the couch last night reading out of the book about the life of Pop Willie. Anybody in here know who Pop Willie was? One. Well, let me tell you who Pop Willie was. Pop Willie and his wife, Miss Mabel Willie, were our missionaries, the first missionaries to the country of Cuba. Way before the current dictatorship was there, there was another dictatorship in position that was cruel and wicked, and all these things going on that were wicked. And I was reading the story about that man's life and how that God had used him and how he had given him this wonderful woman who had it in her heart to do the will of God. That's all. She didn't love him. And she told him when he said, God's told me you're to marry me, she looked at him kind of funny, you know, like, what in the world? And yet when they went and sat down together and they talked about the will of God and they decided they needed counsel. They went to the college president, and he said, I perceive that God could use you both on this one field rather than two, and that maybe you should marry this man. Well, they had many, many wonderful years together, happy and deeply in love over the period of their time. But what would you call that, a little unusual? God would expect you to do a little bit unusual thing like that. Well, yes, it was. But it's exciting to know that God can do the unusual. Well, if you're one of those people who raised your hand a while ago, let me tell you three things that are needed if you want to be used by the Lord. The first of them is you got to be available. Peter was very available, by the way. When it came down to going, he was ready to go. As a matter of fact, on his way to the vacation, he went by the house of Annas. And when he got to Annas, Annas was a discouraged Christian man who apparently had become very ill, unable to get up. 8 years he had been in the bed. He needed somebody who was available, and Peter was. Peter said, now, Lord, I know I'm going to go fishing after a while, but just for a minute, let me pray with Annas. Is that all right with you? I'll pray with Annas. So he prayed with Annas. Annas needed somebody who would strengthen his faith. Anybody in here know anybody that needs somebody to strengthen their faith? Well, I heard your prayer request this morning. Now, obviously, that there are many, even in our own families, that mine included, that are weak in their faith and are having struggles. Do you ever wake up at night praying for them? Do you ever find yourself calling their name when you didn't anticipate calling it? Do they cross your mind in the middle of the day? Well, God's telling you, you need to be available for prayer. Peter said, I'm available. Annas needs prayer. God, I'm going to go down and pray for him. And so he went down to strengthen the faith of Annas. Annas needs somebody to challenge his hope for recovery. He needs someone to do the work of God, Christ Jesus, in his life. The world is filled with people like that, waiting on you to come out and to do the work of Christ among them, to show that smile, to hug them or to pray with them or to lift their spirits or to tell them about Christ or to do something out of the ordinary of your daily routine, because you want to be somebody used of God, and God needs people who are available. He was absolutely available. You see, Annas needed someone who would be faithful as a messenger. He needed someone who would demonstrate in his life the very power of God. And Peter did. He was willing. Peter came before God in prayer in behalf of Annas, and God looked down from heaven and touched him. And he simply said, Annas, get up. Make your bed, man. You've been there long enough. And he got up, the Bible said. So God needs someone who's available for those who need him, but available wherever God sends him. Now, I remember years ago standing at the National Association, down on the floor was Rufus Coffee. Those of you who remember such a name, I'm talking 40 years ago now. But anyways, Rufus Coffee was preaching on the national floor, and he said, out there somewhere in that crowd is a man or a woman that God has called to do an unusual work. And I remember the Holy Spirit sat right down beside me, and I fell under conviction, and I didn't understand it. I'm already a full-time pastor, leading a church and people with the Lord. I knew what God called me to be. Now, what's this all about? And the Holy Spirit just sat down there and convicted my heart. And I didn't understand it. I did before long. See, God was calling me to leave that church, go to Virginia, to that little community I told you about a minute ago, start a church where there was no Free Will Baptist Church, find people that didn't know God and win them to Christ and begin a work of God there. And you raise your hand, and God looks at your heart, and both your hand and heart are in communion, then, of course, God can do something. Available to go anywhere. God was able to use Peter. He went down to Annas' house. It wasn't long till they heard about what happened over there at Annas' house. And they said, well, we're going to call him over to Joppa. Get him over here where Tabitha is, because Tabitha just died yesterday. Go get Peter. And so they go get Peter. He was available to go. He said, yeah, I can go. I'll go. You see, our missionaries, we expect them to be available to go. But how about you? You hear that individual that you've known your whole life, you know they didn't know God, pretty good man or woman, you know, not a real bad, sinful person, not the vilest of the West, you know, whatever. But you know they don't know God, and you hear about them. The doctor just told them they're going out into eternity soon. God says, why don't you go tell them about the Lord? Are you available to go? You see what I'm talking about? I won D to the Lord. D is one of the fellows I requested prayer for in a moment ago. I won him the Lord, and I was 16 years old. And I know that over the years, he's gotten a little bit away from God. And you know what I'm going to do this week? Anybody want to guess? I'm going to go talk to him. Absolutely. I'm going to remind him about walking an aisle, kneeling on his knees at an altar, and giving his life to God. And I'm going to look him right in the face. And I'm going to say, are you ready to go home? I need to know, are you ready to go home? I had to do that to my granddaddy. Hey, that's a tough thing to do. I mean, look your grandfather in the face and say, God's troubled my soul. God's troubled my soul. And I know, you've lived your whole life. You go to church, but I've got to know, do you know God or not? Tell me when you got saved. My grandfather told me. You see what I'm saying? Are you available? Can God count on you if there's another Tabitha somewhere, her name Dorcas? You're going to go to where they are and put all them women, crying women out. You say, now what's that all about? Well, let me tell you something. The work of God is not all bound up in emotion. Pay attention. I like emotion. I like when people get happy in the Lord and hold their hands up. I like when people are touched by the Lord and tears run down their face. And I believe with all my heart, if you give your life to the Lord Jesus, there are going to be moments you can't help it. You got to cry. You got to shout. You got to do something emotional. I understand that. But emotion don't equal the will of God nor salvation, by the way. And these women at that moment were just a sheer hindrance to his prayer. He said, get out of here. Get out of here. They run them all out of the room, shut the door. Now it's just me and you, God. Now that's not a bad deal. It's just me and you, God. Because you get to gather with the Lord over anything. Something happens. I don't care what it is. Something happens. They went over to where Tabitha was. He was available to go. Next thing is, he went to Cornelius' house. He was available. He was available next to say anything. Are you available to say anything? You know you can get smacked in the mouth for saying Jesus unless you're cussing. You hear me? There are plenty of people who take the name of the Lord Jesus in vain. But you say it in a class in a public school, they're going to send you to the principal's office. Say, Jesus Christ, my Lord, hold your hand. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. But you can take his name in vain now. Now, don't do that again. It's about as bad as it gets, isn't it? You see what I'm saying? You're hearing what I'm saying? Are you available to say anything? John the Baptist said, now, you ought not have your brother's wife, Herod. That wife belongs to your brother. You ought not have her. And what happened to him? Cut his head off. Just for speaking the truth. Jeremiah said, the wrath of God is coming. And the king said, I've heard that enough. I don't want to hear it again. Jeremiah said, the wrath of God is coming. He's going to tear this kingdom down. He said, throw him in a well. I throw him in a well. By the way, it wasn't full of water. It's full of mud. So he dropped him down in the mud. And looking up at that brown light, he said, God, you said it would be this way. Are you available to say whatever? Our Sunday school lesson, Ray covered that this morning. A lot of preachers won't just say what God says to say. They kind of clam up. There are a lot of men and women who know the love of Christ and have never shared it with anybody. They will not say it. Why? Why in the world won't they say it? Well, I don't think I'm qualified. If you know Jesus, you're qualified. The light should shine through you somewhere into somebody's life. Have to be available to say whatever. Oh, by the way, if you look at Peter's life in these three cases where he was at, you find a repetitive word. He went to Annas' house, he said, arise. Jesus Christ, arise in the name of Jesus Christ. He went over to Tabitha's house, got down on his knees and prayed, and sort of said, arise. And she got up off the bed when she seen him. He went over to Cornelius' house and he said, I perceive that God is not a person of prejudice, but whosoever will hear him in any nation, he'll let him come unto him. And he said, arise and receive Christ. He sort of had a simple message. You don't have to have an elaborate message. You got time for one more point? I mean, we'll quit anytime y'all are ready. Second point. The person who would be used of God must be devoted. Are you devoted to the Lord Jesus? Now, don't raise your hand on that, because this is a serious deal. You know the story of a man called George Mueller back in 1850-something? George Mueller was a very important and prestigious person to the church. But at that moment, he had a struggle in his own home. He had a teenage daughter who had contracted typhoid fever. And he was going back and forth from her room to his office, his study in his home. And he'd go in her room and cry, and he'd go in his office and cry before God. And he was struggling with this. She was fixing to die. This girl was literally dying in front of him. And the struggle was great, and he was having to deal with it. Go in and look at her, and he'd go in there and plead for her life. God, this is my only child. This is the only child I have in the world. God, you got to reach out and touch her. He'd go back into her room where she was, and he'd watch her, and then he'd go back and cry before God. Went on all day. Finally, he went in before the Lord and he prayed. Now, I want to read to you what he wrote down on a piece of paper. This is a quotation. He said, enabled to give up unto the Lord, unto the hands of the Lord, my daughter, satisfied with the will of my Heavenly Father. Are you so devoted to God that you'll accept His will? If His will means you have lost everything. Devoted to God. There's so many stories in church history that I could share with you, but I don't need to do that. I just need to tell you that those who are devoted to the Lord Jesus willingly follow. Willingly follow. It's led me around the world virtually. Preached in Jamaica, and then, of course, all across this side of the United States and in other parts. And in the West, God's had me preaching. I've held revivals all over. Preached all over. Preached at the National Association, 1993, before thousands of people. Are you willing to follow it? Had me sell a place I owned here in East Tennessee and move to Virginia and start a mission church. And I was in the military long before that. I looked for a place of worship. My wife and I walked in. The little old church had 10 or 11 people in it right off the base. And they were just sitting around talking about closing the doors, stopping the church, ending the process. And we walk in. And I said to them finally, well, what's going on? Our pastor died 2 weeks ago. We're a mission church. Our pastor died, and we don't know what to do. I said, I tell you what, I'll preach for you until you find somebody. You a preacher? Oh, yeah. Well, now, are you willing to go? Are you available? Are you devoted to Jesus Christ? If you are, you got to do something when people are hurting. And these folks were very discouraged and disappointed. We stayed there until they moved the military base, and I had to go with the base. Bethel Free Will Baptist Church, Albany, Georgia. You see, if you're devoted to the Lord, you're willing to follow His will. That means that when hindrances come, persecutions and trials, you're still willing to accept them. My son told me one time, said, Dad, you ought to write a book about all the things you've had to face. I've never written it down, but I thought about it. Because some of them are totally unusual. had a person who opposed me one time in one of our churches killed right in front of the church doors. Killed. His wife was laying in that mangled car. I went out there and held her in my arms until the paramedics came. Her blood ran through my fingers onto the pavement of the highway. When they relieved me from that, I went back in the church, washed my hands in the bathroom, went to the pulpit, and preached the message about God. Some hindrances and trials are enormous. Some pressures you face are enormous. But are you willing? Are you devoted to Jesus? Does it mean so much to you that a day or a night can't pass you don't call on Him? That you don't hear His name in your ears and His voice ringing through your soul? Are you devoted to God or not? Well, those who will be used of God must be devoted. No matter what the hindrance or persecution or trial, they're willing to lift up the name of Jesus, whatever it costs. They're willing to do it. Willing to submit even their lives to the Lord. See, Pop Willie didn't know how he'd die or how, if he would live. He was in Cuba at a time of extreme civil war and rebellion. And in the mountainside where his little church and his school was for evangelism, the guerrillas were on one side and the National Army was on the other. And he knew that every night he could die. Every night his family could be killed and wiped out. But God sent him there, and God's will would be done there. And because of it today, even in a communist country that's run by a dictatorship, the Free Will Baptists are strong and powerful in the land of Cuba because of Pop and Mom Willie. Devoted to the Lord. I'm going to have to let you alone. Y'all aren't going to get any lunch at all if I keep preaching. Let me tell you this, and I'll let you alone. A person that will be used of God must be righteous. They must be righteous. I'll give you these points and let you deal with them. First one is led by the Spirit. You see, I've got a strong will. And like I told my own home church where Brother Tim Roach is the pastor, I'm goal-oriented. To my own hurt, I mean, I'm goal-oriented. If I'm already wore out and I know I want to reach a certain goal, I go to the goal, even if I have to come home sick. Goal-oriented, pushed, and sometimes, like I said, to my own detriment. But I want a clean heart. That's a goal too. And that's a cotton picking struggle. Do y'all ever have a struggle with a clean heart? I've been following the Lord 60 years plus. And the fight is as strong today as it was when I was 16 years old. I struggle. But I want a clean heart. I think that's why there's a struggle. If I didn't care, everything in the world would be just normal. But it's not normal for me. I struggle with language that people use. Comes across the television. I struggle with things that are seen. But I want a clean heart. I want a clean heart before God. I heard a song I was listening to coming down off the mountain the other day. And it broke my heart. The song, I don't remember what song it was or the whole lyrics. I just remember a phrase. I want to hear Him say, "Well done." Can't do that if you've got a dirty heart. If you're impure in your thoughts and your actions. If those things don't bother you. You've got a problem. You had better fix. A person who will be used of God must be righteous. I want to hear Him say, "Well done. Come on home." That's what I want to hear. I want to be used of God. I know I saw your hands go up. You said you want to be used of God. There are all kinds of ways God can use you. He can use you to sing. I read on the back of your bulletin you have in your lap a story about a man who wanted to be used of God. In some way, he wanted God to use him. And he didn't know how. I think the story said 7 years later, God laid upon his heart to start a tract ministry which reaches around the world. Want to be used of God? Be available. Be willing to follow him. Be devoted to the Savior. Father, I love you today. Thanks for letting me fill Tim's pulpit. I love him. I'm grateful for him. What a wonderful guy. I pray you'll bless him and lift him up and encourage him and strengthen him. Make him a great preacher. And I pray, Lord, you'll bless these people that he loves. He tells me constantly about their men's prayer time together and the things the church is doing, how it's growing, how God is seen in this place. I pray you'll knit these people in his heart as one, and that Jesus will be seen here in this community. Now bless us, Lord. We've come together to worship. Should there be one here who's spoken, you've spoken to this morning, give them courage to come and kneel before the Lord and make things right. Have your way in my heart. I love you, Lord Jesus. These things I ask in your name. Amen. What are we singing, brother?
Stand and turn to page 451.
As we stand together, if God's spoken to your heart, why don't you step out and come down and talk to the King? He waits to hear from you. Would you come while we sing? Come on. How about it? God's speaking to your heart. Would you come? My brother and I went to tell you this in preference to what I'm going to say about tonight. My brother and I went to Muncie Memorial Church when we were just teenagers to learn how to swim. And I learned how to swim. I could jump off there and just swim plumb across the pool time that was over with. And my brother Tim's a different guy. He would jump off in the water and then reach up and grab the thing beside the pool before he went under. He says the water can't get over ankle deep in the bathtub or he loses his breath. Now, come on back tonight. The Lord will touch you and bless you. I don't think anybody ought to have their feet washed that has not done it before or seen it done. But I'll teach you tonight what's in that service, whether you sit and listen to me and just watch or whether you participate. I want to show you what God has special for you if you'll come back tonight. Come back and be with us. And if you can't make it, I'll just assume you lose your breath when the water gets over your toes. Bow our heads for prayer.